The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. Yesterday was a high point. People have been talking about it. I can't promise the same today. As you well know, each day is different for humans, for the day, for the tides, for the sun, for the moon. Anyone who's consistent day in and day out is kind of acting their way through it. And so I've got to go with the flow, as they used to say, go with the flow. So we're talking about the swamping of Europe with Muslim refugees. One article after another. Migrants pushing Sweden to the point of collapse from the Gatestone Institute. Germany in grip of Muslim takeover. Even Reuters is noting it. The people are opposed to it. The leadership, so-called, of these countries is opposed to the people and in favor of eliminating the culture of the country. And we were talking about this and where it ends and how it affects us. And I wake up today and I see that Turban Durban is true to his name. He was given the name Turban Durban a long time ago. He's a senator from Illinois. He represents the largest Muslim district in America. Dearborn, Michigan is now a predominantly a Muslim city. And Dick Durbin has now called for 100,000 Syrian refugees in the United States of America. Not 10,000, as al-Husseini wants. Not 10,000, as al-Husseini wants, but 100,000. He figures he'll raise the stakes. This is the way liberal gangsters work. Raise the stakes, make it so outrageous, you say, 100,000, they'll take 50,000. Do you think this country should take in more refugees from Syria? Is the primary question today. Now, Turban Durban got that name because he attacked our troops a number of years ago, comparing them to Nazis during the war in Afghanistan. We know he's a fellow traveler with the opposition. There's no question about it. And I don't mean the Muslim opposition, because I want to be very clear about it. It's Muslims fighting Muslims right now. It is moderate Muslims such as the King of Jordan, the leader of Egypt, who are fighting the radical, insane lunatics. So it's not about Muslims, it's about the fanatics that are being brought in and swept into Europe, hiding in the skirts, hiding under the skirts of the refugees. Now, unto itself, that's a separate issue. How many refugees can we take? Especially those who will never, ever assimilate into this culture. Never. In a million years. Never. It's not in their DNA and it's not in their society, in their culture to assimilate to a nation in which they move. I mean, it's as clear as a bell. That's the way it is. And, you know, this is a tough question for all of us because we're all the children of immigrants at a certain point. Everyone in America is an immigrant, including the Native Americans. I know you say that sounds crazy. What do you mean Native Americans are immigrants? Well, we could talk about that at another time. Yes, they had been here before the white man, so-called, came here. And they had been here for a long time. And I studied this as a young anthropologist. I understand the time frame of the Native American peoples, how long they had been here before the colonists arrived from Europe. I get that picture. But of course, if you study more deeply and go past the surface, if you do deep anthropology, you find out that there were traces of people here before the Native Americans. And there were skeletons of Caucasian-looking people that were here before the Native Americans that were thrown out by the Smithsonian because it embarrassed certain individuals. But I don't want to go into that history right now. Sometimes too much knowledge is too much knowledge, and it's hard for people to understand where you're coming from. All of human history is about human invasion. All of human history is about human invasion. Write that down, because we're being invaded. We're being invaded from the south, we're being invaded from the north, from the east, and from the west. And you'll say, well, that's the way of all things, and you may get used to it. They're here, they're near, they're everywhere. Now, the question is, why are liberals so quick to embrace this invasion? And why are traditionalists and conservatives like myself so resistant to erasing the borders, language, and culture of this great nation? Is it a self-evident question? Or is this too complicated? It's not a classroom. I understand that. I'm speaking with you today as though we're in a classroom, holding a seminar on the crisis, the refugee crisis facing the world right now, because that's the number one crisis in the world. I know most of us don't think about it every day. We go about our daily business. Money, you know, family, kids, soccer, dentists, cancer, heart attacks, prostate difficulties, fallen arches, broken bones, broken teeth, hair falling out, psoriasis. I get the picture. So wherever you are, and I try to imagine where you are, many of you are, I don't know where you are. I imagine you sitting in a garage working on something, listening to the radio. Some of you are in a car listening to the radio. Some of you are at home working on other things, listening on headphones, as though it's underground radio in the ex-Soviet Union, the hidden radio show you're not allowed to listen to. Some are in prisons. I don't know where you are. I know where I am. I know that I, as an immigrant son, think only about the refugee crisis. And for one reason, as an immigrant son, I have to ask myself, I, of all people in the radio, have to ask myself three times, why do I oppose relocating 100,000 Syrian refugees into this country? Why? Can you answer that question? Can you figure it out? And the embarrassing point is that people will always compare the situation to the Jews in the Holocaust. I mean, no, it's the underlying motif of the entire liberal establishment. The substrata of this entire argument, and the emotional substrata of this entire argument, is based upon the Jews under Nazi Germany. And it's a false argument. It's a false one on many levels. Many levels it's a false one. And I'm sure you can figure out why it's false and why the narrative is being used by those who want to flood America with refugees for their own reasons. Lutheran Family Services is doing it only for the greed. They're demanding 100,000 because they make money off it. Baptist Family Services, they're doing it because they're greedy. They make money off it. Catholic Family Charities are doing it because they make money off it. So you could figure out what I'm saying to you. There's a lot of self-interest. There's a lot of greed. But the comparison to the Jews fleeing Germany in the Holocaust is a faulty analogy for a number of reasons, which I don't think I have to spell out to you unless you're that thick and you really do think it's the equivalent of Jews running from the gas chambers, because it's not Jews running from the gas chambers at all. This is Muslims running for a better way of life at your expense. Because the fact of the matter is, wherever they go, take a look at it. Look at Sweden. Look at Norway. Look at Denmark. Look at Germany. Look at the trail of filth. Take a look at it. How can we take care of refugees when we have so many indigenous poor in this country right now? What, is everybody here rich? All of a sudden, the country is rolling in money. All of a sudden, Obama has cleared everything up, and there are no poor in this country who need the help of the government? How in the world can you not see that there's something wrong with this picture? Now we have the issue of tolerance. And many years I've preached how ultra-tolerance is killing us. I've told you that 100 times. And we have a brainwashed generation of drug children raised on Adderall, marijuana, other toxic compounds, and outright brainwashing in the government schools, where they believe in things that are false, as though they are truths. They have no religion. Their religion is liberalism. And the doxies of liberalism, I can give you the 10 commandments of liberalism. I can make them up on the spot if you'd like. 1, man is evil and poisoning the earth. 2, the earth is a living organism and needs to be protected. 3, all white people are racist. 4, all people of color are good. 5, all refugees should be allowed in. 6, there are people make too much money. It should be taken from them. I can go down the list. All you got to do is listen to Bernie Sanders, and you can fill in 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 commandments right there. And so you understand, you have a brainwashed youth vote. You have a drugged youth vote. You have immigrants who want things for free that are being legitimized in an illegitimate way. Jerry Brown, for example, in his criminal ways, has now allowed the Department of Motor Vehicles in California to automatically register illegal aliens so that they guarantee not a one-party system in California, which is what we already have, but a no-party system. Just an autocrat. No party necessary. Just an autocrat in Sacramento. An autocrat in Washington. So you're watching the dissolution of democracy itself under the guise of diversity. Diversity is destroying democracy. That's the opening to my show.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-C-O-I-N. So my opening monologue was about diversity destroying democracy. Very clear, isn't it? Do I make things clear enough for you? Diversity destroying democracy. It's a major theme in Government Zero, which, by the way, has gone to number one under politics on Amazon before its publication next Tuesday. It's already number one on politics, which means that people who are political want that book. Now, I have a correction. Durbin is from Illinois, not Michigan. Very important that you know that. But he is extremely and deeply connected to the Muslim community in Dearborn and elsewhere. That's also important to know. Now, last night I saw a show on American History Channel entitled Muslims and the Nazis. They did it. I didn't complain to them. And they talked about al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, during World War II, and how he collaborated with Hitler, and how the Muslims wanted to build gas chambers in the Middle East to exterminate the Jews. Now, this should be a wake-up call to all of the liberals who hate Israel, the liars, many of whom are Jewish, by the way, who say that they're not anti-Semitic because they're Jewish themselves, but they're anti-Zionist. What these fools should know is that al-Husseini wanted to exterminate the Jews in the Middle East before Israel was even created. I'm talking about 1940, 41, 42. There was no Israel. There was no Israel. There was no state of Israel. Al-Husseini, a Muslim, worked with Hitler, got the plans for the gas chambers at Dachau, and wanted to build gas chambers in the Middle East and round up all the Jews in every country in the Middle East and exterminate them. Did you know that? They didn't teach you that at Harvard? All of you geniuses on the Middle East? Who are oh so preposterously in favor of the poor oppressed Palestinians. You didn't know that about their history, did you? You don't know that their end goal is extermination. You know nothing about this. You also don't know the equation of the Middle East. We keep hearing that the Jews kicked the Palestinians off their own land, and that the Palestinians are the underdog, and how can you not identify with the underdog, and the Jews are evil imperialists who stole the land. I've heard it all. I've analyzed it all. And I'm sure there are many cases of that being true in the Middle East, in Israel, by the way, per se. But there are many cases of that not being true. In many cases, the Arabs gladly sold garbage land to the Jews. Garbage, useless, rocky hillsides that they could not cultivate for thousands of years that the Jews made flour and grew crops on. And what you also don't know, but that they didn't teach you at Yale or Harvard, is that at the same time that Israel was created, the Muslims went on a war path in northern Africa. Libya, ring a bell, Algeria. Look at the countries of North Africa. Jewish people had lived there for 1,000 years. Guess what your friends, the Muslims did to the Jews? They stole their land and kicked them out of the country. 700,000 Jews were thrown out of northern Africa. Jews had lived there for 500 years, rather. 500 years. Think about 500 years. Their land was stolen, property stolen, bank accounts stolen, and they were driven out. And where did the Jews go? They went to Israel. It was the only place on earth that would take them. So the next time you get up and smoke your liberal lies, get the whole picture right here on the Savage Nation. So now having said that, let's move on to what's happening in America. You're being pushed aside by the social engineers called al-Hussein Obama. Al-Hussein Obama is doing to this country a damage that you'll never understand in your lifetime. You'll never understand the damage al-Hussein is doing and why he's doing it. Whether it's a military that's now broken, whether it's the leadership of the military that's been decapitated, or weapon systems that are almost antiquated, the man has almost reduced us to a second-class nation in terms of a military. You don't know any of this because you haven't been told about this from the potheads and the crack addicts in the media. The crackheads who don't look like the crackheads in the media, believe me, they are the ones who are responsible for what's happening. Because the crackheads in the media are supposed to be the estate, the fourth estate, that keeps the government in check. But aside from Michael Savage and a very few others in the media, there is no fourth estate. It's the fifth column. The fifth column marching alongside the liberal fascists who are stamping on our graves not stamping out the grapes of wrath, by the way, but literally growing the poison seeds. Poison seeds. Now I look in Canada. I wake up this morning and I see in the Drudge Report that some schmuck with tattoos with a fist has just been elected in Canada. He's the son of a moron named Trudeau. Trudeau is a playboy, an all-around useless idiot who destroyed Canada with his liberalism and stupidity. Another golden boy. Ruined Canada. Now all of a sudden the son is now elected. Why was he elected? Because he's got a good body and he's got tattoos. So now what does he want to do? The first thing this idiot in Canada says he wants to do is save the environment. He wants to talk about carbon. Another genius. Another moron doesn't even know what carbon is. He has the scientific literacy of Al Sharpton. Well, how can you say that? He's got a 10-pack on his stomach, and he's got a tattoo on his left shoulder, and he's a boxer. He must be smarter than everybody else. Well, if you're a fan of the American media, I guess you can grade someone's intelligence by the tightness of their stomach and the number of tattoos that are on their skin. So the fact of the matter is, this is what the idiot's talking about, carbon and bringing in more refugees. I swear to you, he wants to bring in more Syrian refugees into Canada. Can you believe this? You better believe it. The world is breaking up right in front of your eyes. The main question facing us is this question. Is diversity destroying democracy? Or, as the liberals would argue, diversity, in fact, is making democracy stronger. Now, until this time, I would say that diversity has made America great. The melting pot. Isn't that what we heard ever since we've been a child? The melting pot, the melting pot, the melting pot. And then all of a sudden what happened was the melting pot became the chamber pot. We were no longer bringing in immigrants who wanted to lead a decent life and contribute to the country. We're bringing in immigrants who did the opposite. They contributed nothing except crime and disease, and they sucked the system dry. I'm not naming a particular group. You can put two and two together. You can attach a name tag to that particular statement if you wish. So now we're at the verge of destroying the melting pot in a way it can never, ever be healed by bringing in 100,000 Syrian refugees. Now, you could argue that at least with the Hondurans and Guatemalans and El Salvadorans and Mexicans, we see with our own eyes how hard they work. The predominant number of them are family members and Catholics, by the way. Just take that for what it is. Last night on my bicycle ride, I saw at 7 o'clock at night, it was dark out here, I saw a group of Mexicans still working on a construction site. It had turned dark. They had no lights. They had to finish the pour of the concrete on steps. 6 to 8 of them were there working. You weren't working. They were. I'm not blind, and I'm not deaf, and I'm not dumb. I see what's going on. So in that sense, you can argue that diversity is good for democracy up to a certain point now. But now we have another story. Now we have quite another story. 100,000 Syrians. Who are these Syrians? Will they ever assimilate? Do they want to give to America or do they want to take from America? Are any of them terrorists? Not allowed to ask the question. We know terrorism seems to be embodied in a particular member of a certain religion right now in the universe. I know it's the opposite of what you've been brainwashed to believe, but your mind knows the truth. And so we have this question to answer. So we have this Turban Durban, the senator from Michigan, who called American troops Nazis and worse, now saying in clip 3 the following. Let's hear clip 3.
The United States leads the world in financial assistance for the Syrian refugee effort. But we have a moral obligation to do that and more.
More?
I call on the administration to accept 100,000 Syrian refugees.
Wow.
Allow me to put the 100,000 number in perspective.
Let's stop right there. Now he starts to double talk. So, do you agree with Durbin we should take in 100,000 Syrian refugees? I mean, after all, if you're a good liberal, you should adopt one. See, I think that if you want to take in 100,000 Syrian refugees, every liberal family who wants to do that should be required to bring a Syrian refugee or family into their apartment. There's plenty of extra bedrooms in America. Many of these families have no children, or the children grow up. You can put one in your daughter's old bedroom. Put one in your son's old bedroom. I'm sure they'll treat you well. And be sure to get them a prayer rug. And be sure that your meals are halal, or they'll throw you out of your own apartment. So let's look now at some of the historical facts that you did not learn at college, the things they left out. Who was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem? Al-Husseini. Well, for one, he was a very wealthy man. See, not all Palestinians were poor. He was one of the most powerful and richest men amongst the rivaling clans in the Ottoman province known as the Judean part of Palestine. But this one joined the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, the year it was created, and he transplanted the Nazi genocide in Europe into the post-war Middle East. This is before Israel was created, and this is for you brainwashed youth. You brainwashed youth who think that the Muslims would be fine if there was no Israel, if only Israel would give up the West Bank and the Judea and Samaria. So before Israel was even created, he wanted a Nazi genocide amongst Jews. And in 1929, this wonderful Palestinian went along with the statement, "He who kills a Jew is assured a place in the next world." And as a result of that, Arabs went on a rampage throughout Palestine. They killed 133 Jews and wounded 339. In 1933, al-Husseini had his first meeting with Nazi General Consul Heinrich Wolf in Jerusalem. In 1936, Husseini's incitement led to more rioting in Jaffa. It led to a three-year intifada. In 1937, he met with Adolf Eichmann and Herbert Hagen, one of Eichmann's colleagues in the Gestapo's Department of Jewish Affairs. Eichmann wrote that the Nazi flags fly in Palestine and they adorn their houses with swastikas and portraits of Hitler. This is before Israel was created. During World War II, the Mufti lived in Berlin. Where he traveled in top Nazi circles. He even stayed in Hitler's bunker toward the end of the war. In 1941, Husseini issued a fatwa calling for the Germans to bomb Tel Aviv. At a meeting in Berlin in November of 41, Hitler assured al-Husseini that his goal was the destruction of Jews, all Jews living in Arabia, all Jews. Hitler provided the Mufti with a monthly budget to foment jihad in Palestine. Hitler gave the Mufti a radio station where he preached genocide in Arabic. And he said this, "According to the Muslim religion, the defense of your life is a duty which can only be fulfilled by annihilating the Jews. This is your best opportunity to get rid of this dirty race, which has usurped your rights and brought misfortune and destruction on your countries. Kill the Jews, burn their property, destroy their stores. Your sole hope of salvation lies in annihilating the Jews before they annihilated you." Close quote. That's before Israel was founded, all you fools who think that all the Palestinians want is the land that was stolen from them. This is a lesson you didn't learn at Harvard. Near the end of the war, al-Husseini went on his radio show and preached this, and he was the most powerful Arab at the time. He was don't underestimate him. He said this. He said the Versailles Treaty was a disaster for the Germans as well as the Arabs. But the Germans know how to get rid of the Jews. The Germans have never harmed any Muslim, and they are again fighting our common enemy who persecuted Arabs and Muslims. But most of all, they have definitely solved the Jewish problem. Arabs, he said, rise as one to protect your sacred rights. Kill the Jews wherever you find them. Allah is with you. For 2 years, beginning at the age of 16, around 1945, Yasser Arafat worked for the Mufti, helping to buy and smuggle weapons in the war against Jews. Many reports say that Yasser Arafat was Husseini's nephew or cousin. This was on the American History Channel last night, and this can all be researched. You'll find it 100% accurate. So what does that have to do with the Syrians that Hussein Obama wants to bring into America? What does it have to do with Turban Durban wanting to bring 100,000 Syrian refugees into America? Anything or nothing? Huh? I'll let you read the Bible to find out how this ends. I researched it last night. And it doesn't end very well. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that change darkness into light and light into darkness, that change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own right. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. They that justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devoureth the stubble, and as the chaff is consumed in the flame, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and condemned the word of the Holy One of Israel. I don't have to read any more. You think it's all fire and brimstone, and you think there is no God. Many of you believed in the Ten Commandments of liberalism. You don't believe in the realities of your own world. You've lost contact with your own world. And so, again, I have to refer to another book, which is my book, Government Zero, because I want to read you one paragraph. In the chapter called Zero Immigration, there's an extremely important question on page 158, which for those of you who are not going to get the book, I'll read right now. It's clear, it's page 158. I don't mince words. There's no time left. This is zero hour for Government Zero. Do you understand? Remember the concerned scientists used to have the clock, like 1 minute to midnight? Well, it's midnight in America. It's New Year's Eve. If you'd like 1,000 years of darkness, pay no attention to what I'm about to read to you. Zero immigration in Government Zero, page 158. What country is this, I ask? Obama has flooded America with Africans, Middle Easterners, and Chinese over the past 3 years. Europeans need not apply for citizenship. You can now see what he meant when he promised to transform America. While Mexicans remain the largest immigrant population in the United States, the progressive Islamist administration has managed to increase immigration from the Middle East, Asia, and the Caribbean the most. Overall, the number of immigrants living in the United States legally and illegally is at an all-time high of 41.3 million people. It wasn't too long ago that America was still a first world nation that led the world in commerce and military might. Despite decades of progressive assault, private property, free enterprise, Judeo-Christian values, and respect for law and order still dominated American culture. English was the first and only language, and immigrants enthusiastically learned to read, write, and speak it in an attempt to become Americans. Upon these pillars was built the freest, richest, most powerful nation in human history. Page 159. Today, the entire foundation of American society is under assault by a progressive Islamist alliance that hasn't neglected reshaping our entire immigration policy. We're no longer a land of opportunity for ambitious, talented immigrants looking to escape social democracies with large welfare states. We're now a land of government handouts for waves of immigrants, both legal and illegal, who come here for the generous welfare benefits our progressive government keeps increasing. We're also a target for Islamofascists who are actively infiltrating our free and open society for the express purpose of destroying American civilization. Turkey's former prime minister and now president, Erdogan, once said, quote, "We will ride the train of democracy to our ultimate goal," meaning a new caliphate based upon Sharia law. He was talking about Turkey. The Islamofascists want to ride our American democratic train to the same goal here. What they don't blow up, they could eventually rule by voting. And then I give you the facts and the numbers. And then I talk about sleeper cells amongst us, leaving Christians to the wolves, all in zero immigration. The sleepers awaken, all documented here, who they were by the name, importing crime with the crime statistics that they won't teach you at Harvard or publish in the San Francisco Chronicle. All in zero immigration, importing disease. It's all factual. I don't invent one word. I don't create one bacterium. It's all real. And then in zero immigration, importing socialism through amnesty for illegals. And then we go on, page after page, reference after reference. And then I go to illegal immigration for profit because I followed the money. And I say, you may remember the reporting last year about the luxury hotels being rehabbed for the illegal alien children, offering saunas, tennis courts, luxury pools, and more. The Obama administration actually bought a luxury hotel to convert into a facility for juvenile illegal aliens. And then I write about the religious organizations, big religion, who are making hundreds of millions of dollars off this. And then I talk about the GEO Corporation. GEO was awarded almost $1 billion in ICE contracts. Who owns it? Wackenhut Corporation, which owns a lot of private prisons and funded the American Legislative Exchange Council, a lobbying group. They tell your elected officials what to vote on. They tell your elected officials where to eat, what to breathe, and how to operate. They run the country. Are you ready for this? What I'm about to tell you will change your view of politics for the rest of your life. Who is running the company which helps fund ALEC and is behind all of these resorts for illegal aliens? Well, I have the names because you wanted to know the answers. The top shareholders include people you never heard of. It's an international organization. They own facilities in the UK, Australia, South Africa, and the US. The management team includes George Zoli, John Bulfin, Norman Carlson, and Thomas Wiersma. I don't know who they are, but maybe some of these hedge funds are familiar to you. The hedge funds behind this illegal immigration. They include BlackRock Fund Advisors, Credit Suisse, River Road Asset Management LLC, Eagle Asset Management Inc., Scopia Capital Management LLC, Carlson Capital LP, BlackRock Institutional Trust Company, Hotchkiss and Wiley Capital Management, and Vanguard Group Inc. If you have any money in any of them, it may be helping fund GEO Group's holding facilities for the illegal alien children. Now, all of this is perfectly legal. Don't assume I'm saying there's anything illegal in what they're doing. I'm just telling you to follow the money. And then I come back, the minute I come back, I'm going to tell you who else is profiting from the illegal alien surge, who is on the board, what funds you may be invested in are actually profiting from this, and then you'll understand why America is under assault. If you don't have the time to listen, I suggest you go to Amazon and buy Government Zero. You'll find this all on pages 187 to 189. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. There's not a lot. So Durbin, Senator Durbin, says we should take in 100,000 Syrian refugees, that we have a moral obligation to take them in. Not that we should, but we have to. That we're immoral if we don't take them in. He said the United States leads the world in financial assistance for the Syrian refugees, but that's not good enough. We need to take in 100,000 more. Lutheran Family Services says the same thing, Baptist Family Services, Catholic Family Services, Jewish Family Services. It's all about the money. You don't know that. And, you know, there's an old saying that they claim Karl Marx made up, that when the last capitalist is hung, we'll hang him with his own, with the rope he made, manufactured. Did you know that? That when we hang the last capitalist, we'll hang him with the rope he manufactured. Wow, that's eerie, isn't it? You never heard that? Didn't hear that at Harvard? Bernie Sanders ought to be listening to this show. Maybe he can pick it up for his next speech. That when they hang the last capitalist, we'll hang him with the rope that he manufactured. That'd be a good one for Bernie. When we hang the list. No, I can't even do it. I'll try it later. When I come back, we'll talk more about Government Zero and what you can do about it. Go to michaelsavage.com. Big surprise. We have a few pictures of the winners of the scholarship contest. By the way, all profits from Government Zero will go to the 2016 Savage Scholarship Fund.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I don't think we can wait for all the issues that exist between Israelis and Palestinians to be settled in order for us to try to tamp down the violence right now. I think my views are well known that over time, the only way that Israel is going to be truly secure and the only way that the Palestinians are going to be able to meet the aspirations of their people is if there are two states living side by side in peace and security.
So his message is really no different than some of the most virulent anti-Semites throughout history. It sounds reasonable. After all, that's what they teach at Harvard. Doesn't it sound reasonable to you? Two-state solution, it sounds so fair and even. Why don't you just cut off the whole south of America and give it to Mexico and the Mexicans over here and give up your land? Just cut it off. Imagine a line running from, let's say, I don't know, middle of California, north of San Francisco. No, it'd have to be higher than that. I don't have a map in front of me. Somewhere on the West Coast that's right down the middle. And just imagine it running right across America. All the way to the East Coast, somewhere around Virginia. And cut off the whole southern part of the U.S. and give it to the Mexicans and the Central Americans. That's the only way we're ever going to be secure. And let the people from those countries reach the aspirations that they have been dreaming of, is to give them the land and your house and your car and your mule. That's what that statement is. So Obama's insanity doesn't stop. It gets worse by the day. Jews are being stabbed to death in the streets of Israel, and he's telling the Israelis, give up half your country. That's your solution. Okay, well, now let's go back for a moment to a few things I started in the last hour. At the end of the last hour, when I was talking about Durbin's demand that we accept 100,000 Syrian refugees, and I gave you a wonderful monologue on how, I want to make sure I term it exactly the way I stated it. Here it is. I want to make sure I get it right. How diversity is destroying democracy. Is that how I said? Something like that? Yeah. How diversity is destroying democracy. And it's not the cornerstone of democracy. Right now, it's the destruction of democracy. And then I talked about a term you haven't heard on any other show, which is called crony socialism. Oh, God, steal it. How did Savage come up with another one? Why, we've heard of crony capitalism. That's as popular as many other phrases you hear repeated by the parrots in radio. Crony capitalism. Crony capitalism. Crony capitalism. Vote for Bernie Sanders. Let's not have crony capitalism. But if you look at San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, you'll see crony socialism. Where do you think the money goes? Where do you think the contracts are going? They're going to, well, let's just say, let's leave it at that, crony socialism. And from Obama's point of view, no-bid contracts and grants to donors and friends of donors, crony socialism. Then we talked about al-Husseini and the Muslims and the Nazis in World War II. And then I quoted from Government Zero, the great chapter on zero immigration. I started to give you the names of those who are profiting from the illegal immigration, including who will profit from the influx of Syrians. And I'm going to continue telling you who they are. You're not going to believe this. If you think it's all left-wing liberals, you're wrong. You're not going to believe when I get through with you on page 189 who I disclose on the conservative side who's making a fortune off this. I'm the only one in the country who found this. There's not another book, not another show, not another place you can find it but for me. And I'll give it to you for free. Now, for those of you who want to buy the book and will buy the book, I announced something quickly at the end of the hour, which I only mentioned in passing over the last weeks. All profits from the sale of Government Zero will go towards the 2016 Savage Scholarship Fund. Period. Mark it down. Mark it down. I'm not using it for private jet rides. I'm not like some people in the media who... Let's leave it at that. Just let me leave it at that. I don't need to get very competitive right now. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of those phonies. Those with the private jet that steal your money under the guise of one thing and take a jet ride on it and then tell you that they're Joe Sixpack when they own 14,000 apartments in Atlanta. So on my website, I have a picture of one of the winners. Beautiful young lady. Here are the winning essays in the Savage Scholarship Contest. And one of the winners is pictured today You click on it, you'll see some of the others. And you'll see their names. We only have three pictures so far. We're waiting for the other two. You'll see one of the winners. And then I want you to read her essay, What It Means to Be an American, Heather Fisher. Another winner is a young man named Alex Peterson. His essay was entitled Obscured Resilience. These are young college students. Another winner is Curtis Butterfield. His essay was entitled Evil Despises Competition. Wait until you see these essays, and you'll say maybe there are people out there who are not being brainwashed who can fight it. You can find them on michaelsavage.com. And if you want to contribute to the Savage, I'm getting ahead of myself, the Savage Scholarship Fund, then you can buy Government Zero. And I'll say it again. All profits will go towards the 2016 Savage Scholarship Fund. I funded it in 2015 with my own money. It's not a nonprofit organization because I don't want the government involved. How do you like that? I wanted no government involvement with these scholarships. That's why I made it a private donation. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Did I want a bureaucrat from Sacramento telling me who I can give it to? That I couldn't give it to someone who loved America? Are you kidding me? So that's that. I covered that. You want to do it? That's good. Now, I want to go back to exposing to you, exposing for you and disclosing to you who's making money off the surge of illegal aliens and those coming in not only from Central America and Mexico in providing services. We know about the corrupt churches. We know how they've been corrupted under this regime. But then I listed the mutual funds. And if you have a mutual fund, you probably like the percentage you're making every year. But I want you to know which companies are profiting from the illegal alien surge. You may say that you're a conservative and against illegal immigration. Well, here are the mutual funds that hold GEO stock. Are you ready? Vanguard Specialized RET Index Fund. Fidelity Small Cap Discovery Fund. iShares S&P Small Cap ETF. Prudential Jennison Equity Income Fund. Eagle Series Trust Small Cap Growth Fund. iShares Russell 2000 ETF. Vanguard Small Cap Index Fund. Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. Do you get the picture? I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, but you have to understand you may be profiting from a political decision that you oppose. It's all on page 188 of Government Zero, in case you want to get that list again, because I'm not going to read it again. I'm just getting started. Who is this GEO group, board of directors, that are making billions off the illegal aliens living in luxury resorts? They're not household names. I won't read them to you. One of them is Norman Carlson, former director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Huh? I didn't know that. Let me pause right there, I say. The former director of the U.S. Federal Bureau of Prisons is on GEO's board? Well, think about that for a moment. It even gets better, I write on page 189. Also on the board is Ann Newman, foreman. Who is she? Why, she's former Undersecretary of the United States Air Force. You were told women in the military would be much kinder and more honest. Well, there she is. She left the Air Force and she's on the board of directors of GEO Group. And as I said, it's all perfectly legal. It's business as usual. Look how well they're doing. There are others. They all came to do good and they did very well indeed. Again, these are not household names. But wait until you hear the punchline, because you haven't heard it yet. It's on page 189 of the only book you need this year, Government Zero. Are you ready? The Koch brothers, the Koch brothers, however you pronounce it, David and Charles, I used to call it Koch. I don't know how to pronounce a name like that. K-O-C-H, David and Charles, who are two of the richest people in the world, are key funders of the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. There you have it. You thought it was all liberals who wanted amnesty, but conservatives are also guiding forces behind the illegal immigration surge because they own facilities with thousands of unused beds, and they want you to fill them and pay for them. It is big business, big government, and big religion, all in one bundle and getting paid off your back. It is big business, big government, and big religion, all in one bundle, and they're all earning money off your back, all disclosed in the chapter Zero Immigration and Government Zero. I close the chapter with the three pages on Can We Get America Back? I'm not going to read it to you, but I want to read one line. I'm not against immigration. I'm the child of immigrant parents myself. My mother was an immigrant. My father was an immigrant. Everyone living in this country is descended from immigrants, including the inappropriately named Native Americans. They aren't indigenous to America either. They came here from Asia. They just came before the Europeans. That's something else you probably didn't learn in school. Immigrants did help build this country into the greatest nation on earth. And I believe that every human being has a natural right to leave the country he or she is born in and seek a better life in another. Did you hear what I just said to you? But that right has the same natural limit that all rights have. Jefferson put it so eloquently when he said, "The limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others." So what does that mean? It means you do not have a right to immigrate to another country carrying a potentially deadly disease that could harm the people living there. You don't have a right to enter the country illegally and subvert its constitution. Most obviously, you don't have a right to immigrate into a country for the express purpose of killing its citizens or overthrowing the government. But yet this is precisely the kind of immigration our government is actively facilitating. I won't read you anymore. I won't. I've been warning you about the dangers posed by injudicious immigration policies for over 20 years. Now those dangers are accelerating exponentially with the progressive Islamist takeover. If we ever want to see our country again, we need to stop it now. In another decade, it might be too late. Prophetic words. You can have it. It's not that expensive. All profits go to the Savage, the 2016 Savage Scholarship Fund. So now let's go back to some of the key sound bites of the day, and I'll invite you to call 855-407-282. Let us listen to Senator Turbin Durbin of Michigan demanding that we take in 100,000 Syrian refugees in clip 03.
The United States leads the world in financial assistance for the Syrian refugee effort, but we have a moral obligation to do that and more. I've called on the administration to accept 100,000 Syrian refugees. Allow me to put the 100,000 number in perspective. Germany has agreed to accept 800,000 of these Syrian refugees.
Okay. You get the picture. You get the picture. Now, why does Turbin Durbin want 100,000 Syrian refugees? Why? Why do you think Turbin Durbin wants them? Bigger question for you, the audience of the show, when I expose today what crony socialism is. It's a new phrase, by the way. No, you haven't heard it anywhere from the geniuses in radio. I invented it last night. I put the two words together. No-bid contracts, grants to donors. Crony socialism. We also talked about al-Husseini, the Muslims and the Nazis in World War II. I showed you how the policies of exterminating the Jews was transplanted to the Middle East in World War II. I talked about how Hitler, I didn't even tell you this, but Hitler told his minions in the Middle East to change the words from anti-Semite to anti-Jewish. Did you know that? The same way the left has brainwashed your children into saying, "I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-Zionist." Do you understand it's a continuation of the same thread of hatred and evil? Okay, more when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. It's earth in upheaval, worlds in collision. We're going through an upheaval like I've never seen in my life. Have you ever seen anything like it? You know, no one even analyzes why this is happening, who caused it. One of them is running for office. Her name is Hillary Clinton, and no one mentions it. They have that 10th-rate comedian, the billionaire from Brooklyn, Larry David, who went on Saturday Night Live to allegedly ridicule Bernie Sanders, when in fact it was to cover up Bernie Sanders' socialism. Because they're cut from the same challah. They're cut from the same challah out of the same bakery. You understand Larry David's a billionaire socialist. He wants you to pay for everyone else and not give a dime of his own money, in my opinion. But let's put him aside. He's an insignificant comedian. Then they ridicule Hillary Clinton, allegedly, on Saturday Night Live, and they don't take on any of the serious issues, such as her causing the refugee crisis that the world has to deal with. Instead, they talk about email, shmeemail, you know, that kind of nonsense. Again, they're very clever. Never, ever underestimate the mind of the illiberal. Never, ever, ever underestimate the mind of the illiberal. They're very clever. They run the media. They own the media. They control the media. They control the pollution and the violence that goes out to the whole world. Don't get me started on this topic because I'll go off on a tangent like a rocket. I happened to be scanning television last night to rest my poor fevered brain after yesterday's show. And lo and behold, HBO was rerunning that filthy comedian, David. And I watched one of the episodes and I was amazed at how he attacked mock Christians. It was one of his episodes where he thought he was adopted. Someone told him he was adopted. And he goes to the Midwest to meet who he thought was his adoptive parents. And in one scene, he mocks Christians. He says, "Oh, my God, I'm a Gentile." And shows them going to church with them. Very clever how they recreated a church with actors. Very clever how they try to mock the average American family. I got to hand it to Larry David. He really has a knack. Going back a long while now to mock the average American. It's just amazing to me. Made a mockery of Christians, made a mockery of the church, made a mockery of everything decent in the country. And look at the money he made doing it. It's a very interesting phenomenon that when you mock everything that's decent, well, the Bible wrote about it. You know, say, well, where's the Bible? What did he make on that? What did God make on the Bible? That's what a guy like Larry would say with that creep friend of his. What did he make on the Bible? What did the prophets make? Did they make any money? They didn't live in Beverly Hills like us. They didn't eat in the finest restaurants. They didn't drive in fancy cars and get to tell presidents what to do. Who are these people, Jeremiah? What did they make? What did they make? Nothing. What is that garbage you're reading? What Bible? You can spit on it. It means nothing to me, Jeremiah. It's a shoe manufacturer I used to know named Jeremiah. Okay, my friends, I won't be contemptuous.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We have breaking news for you on the Savage Nation today. The Senate Democrat Socialist Islamist bloc has blocked a Republican bill that would withhold funds to sanctuary cities that don't cooperate with federal immigration officials. Despite the fact that Kate Steinle was killed by Juan Francisco Lopez Sanchez, who had been released by the city sheriff, Ross Merkikami, despite having a felony record and having been deported 5 times, he went and killed Kate Steinle. So the Republicans rightly heard the people, tried to pass a sanctuary city crackdown, but the corrupt Democrat, Socialist, Islamist bloc blocked the GOP's sanctuary city crackdown. Now, in the last hour, I told you that it's all about the money. See, you don't understand it. Many of you think that the Democrats are in favor of immigrants because that they're better than the Republicans. They're kinder than the Republicans. It's all about the money. I showed you the billions that are being made in government zero. You see, you don't understand yet that it's all about the money. And by the way, there are people profiting on both sides of the aisle, as I showed you in my book, Government Zero. Very important that you know that the corruption is so endemic that it's spread across both sides of the aisle, more so on the Democrat Socialist side, by the way. And so that's breaking news. That's all. Sanctuary cities will stay. Now the Arab states on another front are pushing the UN to vote to get rid of the Wailing Wall in Israel from Jews and give it to the Arabs. Now, this is an amazing story. I know this doesn't really resonate with most of my listeners. Arab nations demand the UN designate the Western Wall as Muslim territory. This is such an important story. This is such an endeavor to distort history that I have to straighten the history out right now. Do you know what the Western Wall is? I'll never forget this. I went to Israel only twice in my life, and it was a long, long time ago. And I met some very brilliant scholars, the top of the heap, the most leading intellectuals in the country. And one of them asked me, "What have you seen since you've been here?" And I said, "Well, I've been at the Western Wall," I said proudly. He sneered at me. He said, "Ech, that's nothing." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That's nothing." It's, he said, you should go above the Western Wall, and you will see the Temple Mount, which is the site of the Holy Jewish Temple. I didn't even understand the history myself at the time. The Western Wall that you see Jews praying at, where they put little prayers in paper, happens to be a remnant of a retaining wall which supported the Second Jewish Temple. And Jews are not allowed to pray on the Temple Mount. Not at all. Why? Because a long, long time ago, the Muslims conquered Jerusalem, knocked down the Jewish temple, the remnants of it, and built a holy temple there for themselves and forbid Jews from praying up there. This is astounding to those of us who are not in this area. You want to rewrite history, go ahead and rewrite it. But that the mount of that area, the Temple Mount, is where the original holy temple was in Israel, the one you read about in the Bible. The Jews aren't allowed to pray. We're not allowed to pray there. So this is the world we're living in right now. All under Hussein, al-Husseini Obama. The smiling golfer from, well, you name the country of origin. The smiling golfer from, fill in the blank, Indonesia, Honolulu, Kenya, we don't know. But it doesn't matter where he's from. We know where he wants to take us. That's all. So shall I give you more good news or take some calls? Question to you is, should America bring in more refugees from Syria, yes or no? Let me make it easy for you. Senators, presidents, all want us to take in 100,000 Syrian refugees. Should we do so? It's a simple question. That's all. Brendan, WABC, first caller of the day. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? I just sounds like to me like your book is going to light our left and the right on fire. I love that. I listen to you every day, and I am a Democrat because I'm a union member who wants Social Security, and my union is pay solvent. But if I was rich, I'd be a staunch conservative, I think.
Well, I'll tell you this, whatever you are, rich or poor, you're honest.
Yeah, I am.
At least you acknowledge what your politics are. They're based upon your pocketbook. I get it. That's very smart. That's the truth for most of us.
I got to do what I got to do. When I was at my friend's house, her Hispanic grandmother, I whispered something about Savage in the background. It was a loud party. She turned around to me. She said, you listen to Michael Savage? I said, I listen every day. She said, I listen every day.
And what'd you say? She's an Hispanic lady?
She is.
Yeah, well, that's because my view of the world is not much different from most sane people. Let's leave it at that. It's easy to typecast me, but it's very easy to listen. It's very easy to typecast me if you don't listen to me. And it's easy to typecast me if you want to distort what I actually say. Okay, my friend, I'm sending you a gift. Government Zero goes out to you. Big, 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 big deal. It's a big deal to me. Book's coming out next Tuesday. I want you to mark it on your calendars, and I want you to go to the bookstores, and I want you to send a message to Washington. I want you to get that list onto the New York Times bestseller list so they read it. Do you realize what that means if this book winds up on the New York Times bestseller list, what the New York Times has to do? Remember what they did to me last time. My book made it to the list, and they didn't publish it. They left it out because they didn't want Countdown to Mecca to be on that list. Did you remember the novel? Do you remember what they did to me? Why? Because they didn't want the title Countdown to Mecca to be seen anywhere on the list. I didn't sue them. But the fact of the matter is, imagine this, visualize this. Bestsellers, nonfiction, Michael Savage, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. The author argues that with the influx, the unlimited influx of refugees and immigrants, America will lose its identity. Do you think they want to publish even one line that states that? No, but you can make them do it, because that's the book list that's read around the world. That's my appeal to you. I'm not going to buy a new car. I'm not going to buy a new house. I'm not building a beach house. I'm not furnishing a beach house. I'm not moving sand around on a beach. I'm not fortifying a house. I'm telling you right now, I'm past that point in my life. I don't need a house. I don't need a car. I don't need a vacation. I don't need a new pair of shoes. I don't need a new tuxedo. I don't need a haircut. I don't need my teeth done. I don't need my nails done. I need you to help stop the tide before we are swamped in it. I don't know. I don't have any other way to do it. You know that all I have is my radio show and my writing. And my horoscope and my doctor have warned me I better slow down. By the way, I got to tell you that right now. I think I was getting over. I went over the edge. I felt it coming. I felt it coming. I felt it coming. And yesterday I hit a point in my show that I shouldn't have gone to. I think it was a brilliant show. It was great. I gave it my all. You know, but I reminded myself of what could happen when you give too much, whether it be in radio or on stage. You will pay the price for it. And I got to be very careful right now. With the book coming out, I'm cutting back on some of the things I thought I would be doing. I just had to cut back on them. I don't want to go through the list now, but it won't affect you one way or the other. I want to do the radio show as long as God gives me the energy to do it. And as long as I have a podium to do it, I will do it. I'm not ready to do nothing and sit around, and that's all. I don't want to be the guy sitting in a garage working on a wood project listening to someone else. I don't want to be the guy driving around in the middle of the day with nothing to do, listening to someone on radio saying I agree with them. I want to be the guy that they listen to, as I have been for 21 years. And I am not willing to give this up quite yet. And I'm telling you right now, somebody up there likes me, or I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be here for 21 years. Every impediment known to mankind was thrown in my way. From the day I began in radio, people at that station try to stop me. They try to stop me on KGO. They try to stop me in the elevators. You don't know what I went through. You don't know how vicious the so-called nice people are. You don't know how vicious nice people really are underneath that niceness. But lucky for me, let's put it to you this way. I was born very poor. I'm not boasting about it. I wish I'd been born rich. I wish that I had Donald Trump's money. I wish I lived on the other side of the tracks. I'm not glorifying my poverty. I mean, everyone likes things it's fashionable to glorify poverty. I hated it. All the years I walked in the slush to the bus in Queens to take a job after school, I hated it. I didn't want to do it. I had to do it. I didn't want to go do that. Every Saturday and Sunday that I had to go to work in my father's store doing disgusting, dirty work, I didn't want to go. I wanted to play with my friends and hang out. I wanted to do what they did. But I couldn't do it. He didn't want me to do it. He said it would spoil me. I've been going on a long time, been working too long, and some days I say I don't want to work anymore. I'm actually reaching the point where I'm saying, you know what, maybe it's time to just, you know, let it go after this book or something like that. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm feeling burned out. I'm reaching that point because I have never, ever seen a country committing suicide. Lemmings running off a cliff is the only image that works for me. When you see a low-life street rat like Bernie Sanders, a nobody, a 1930s caricature of a communist street rabble-rouser on a soapbox in Union Square getting this much attention, it's a nation of lemmings going off a cliff. That's all I can think of. So if you see a tide of rats running over a cliff, the answer is get out of their way, man, or they'll pull you over with them. See? That's what I think sometimes. Sometimes I think that's the bigger wisdom. But I don't think I'll do that. It's just too ingrained in me to stand there and fight and stay on the air and get up every day through thick and through thin, no matter what's bothering me on my mind or my soul. I still do it as hard as it is for me and as hard as it is for the guys that I work with, because it's getting very hard. Because the news is so horrible. It's hard to tell you this in any other way. I'm telling you, the news is so awful. The refugee crisis is the seminal moment in our lives. And it was created by Hillary Clinton. And what's astonishing to me is how she gets away with it. Like this Thursday, we're supposedly going to be hearing about her email garbage. Well, that's important. And I wish Trey Gowdy gets to the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know what's in those missing emails, but I can tell you right now, she is so powerful. She, in fact, is so all-powerful. The machine behind her, she owns the FBI, for example, who took the emails. Now, do you think that her FBI is going to help people get to the truth? I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe a miracle will happen. Let's say, dealing with that for one more minute, let's just have a fantasy together. Let's say that during the hearings we find out that Hillary did something that violated the law while she was in the State Department and she has to go to prison. What is that going to do? Make us happy? It's not going to make me happy. I have nothing against Hillary Clinton. I don't even know her. I think she's a terrible human being. I think we had 8 years of the Clintons, and 8 years is more than enough, and I think we need a change in America. It's as simple as that. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to get to the bottom of what were in those emails. I hope they do. See? Okay, so that's that. Thursday, that's coming up. 855-407-282. Let's go to Jeremiah on WABC. Line number 8, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. You are the modern-day Jeremiah, Noah, Jonah, and all the other prophets put together. I know yesterday you really were on fire, and I could feel it, and I really have this sense of urgency, like our days are really numbered. And, you know, just like it, the barbarians are coming through the borders, and we're at the point now we're inviting them in. Have we ever seen anything like this? Not.
Now, here's the question. Why do you call them barbarians?
Well, that's from the Bible. You know, the barbarians were coming through. It was the Assyrians. It was the Babylonians. The who were the other ones?
But aren't all people equal? And aren't all religions equal?
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. That's, you know, that's the crony socialist perspective. And, you know, just to tie it back to that, I mean, I really see you as a modern-day prophet, not a General Washington, because there's, you know, there's really no army for you. I hope it comes.
That's true. I am no Washington. I am not a soldier. I'm not a statesman. I'm a different thing than that. Different entity than a soldier or a statesman.
But you are a prophet, and, you know, there is something very special coming to you. Like you just said, somebody up there likes you. Yeah, somebody really likes you, and you are our modern-day prophet. You know, you make so many great points in the book, and I refer to this book now as, I know you said it was your last book that you'll write, and I say it's the last book for Western civilization, because this is...
Well, wait. Now, wait a minute, Jeremiah, how did you get a copy of Government Zero? It's not even in the stores yet.
I spoke to you a couple weeks back. I'm the guy who was trained as a Marxist. So,
So people who win books on this show are getting them before the bookstores. That's intriguing.
I just got it.
That's amazing. You're a former Marxist who saw the light?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow.
Now, you know, now I'm seeing we're in really big trouble. And you know, again, I bow down.
How can your fellow Marxists be so blind as to dissolve the nation in which they live? How can they not see what they're doing? Hold on, I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
My name is... When I take over in this country, the rich are going to pay their fair share. And not only will they pay their fair share, but I am certain that others will pay their fair share as well, especially those who have any money and anything they've achieved. They must pay their fair share, because nobody has earned anything in this country, not except it was on the back of others. And so I think a minimum tax rate for those making more than $10,000 a year should be at least 98%, and I would make it graduated, so people should not say that I'm unfair. Anybody making more than $20,000 a year should pay 99%. Anybody making $50,000 up must pay 100% of their income as taxes. She said, how are they going to live if they pay 100% in taxes? My answer is simple. Let them live like the others have lived, with nothing. Let them go on welfare, food stamps. Let them see what it's like. I want fairness. I want equality in this society. And therefore, I think that fair taxes are the fairest way to go. And 100% is fair enough for anyone making over $50,000 a year. And as far as the millionaires and the billionaires, I tax them at 150%. So how are they going to live? Because they got plenty put away. They could sell their houses. They could sell the yachts. They could sell the cars. And they could empty the bank account. So 150% up to $10 million, 300% if you make more than $20 million, and then we'll have fairness in America. I would also take all of the street people from Black Lives Matter.
All right, that's someone you know imitating the street lunatic Bernie Sanders. It was a big hit last week when I was in the mood to do it. If you've been listening for the last 2 hours and you leave us now, I thank you for listening. Remember, Government Zero has all the answers, all profits. Go to the 2016 Savage Scholarship Fund. For those of you who are with us another hour, I have some important breaking news. Be here or be nowhere.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. One thing you have to understand is that the left invents grievances before they even exist. I know that there's a complex set of words that requires a little thought. Because when you break out of the malarkey of radio, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But you can write it down. The left invents grievances before they even exist. So before we've even taken in any more Syrian refugees, already they're inventing a grievance that we're racists because we haven't taken in at least 100,000 Syrian refugees. Already Senator Dick Durbin. Here's another one. This one is from the so-called, who is she from? We need to take in more Syrian Muslims. Brittany Nystrom of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Center. Now, how many of the Syrian refugees are Lutherans? Answer, none. So you say, well, why would Lutherans want to bring them in? Well, it's of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Center. That has nothing to do with the church. It's a business. So they're using a church to promote the business. Trips, meals, perks. When are you going to understand that all those calling for more refugees are making money off it one way or the other? Because the average American knows better. Can trace the money. Ask Durbin what he's making on the call to accept 100,000 refugees. Ask him what he's going to make off that deal. Then find out who runs all the services and whether they donate money to him. I don't know if they do. For the fiscal year beginning October, the United States has promised taking 10,000 refugees. That number is woefully inadequate, said Brittany Nystrom of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Center. Durbin wants 100,000. Before we know it, al-Husseini may want a million. We don't know what al-Husseini may do tomorrow. He may wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Al-Husseini first night said 10,000. Next morning, al-Husseini said 20,000. Next morning, he said 100,000. Al-Husseini could wake up tomorrow and say a million. We don't know. There's no opposition party. Maybe Jimmy Carter. I thought Jimmy Carter was dying of cancer a few months ago when his book came out. Did you notice that when the book came out, he had cancer? Now he's still giving speeches. I'm glad. I wish you knew what the cure is. Maybe peanut skins, something. Could be peanut skins, Billy Beer, something. I'd love to know what he uses. Maybe it's the strychnine they use with the snakes. I don't know. So let's start with some of the sound that we have for you. Here is Bernie Sanders in 1985. Boasting about how good life was under Fidel Castro in clip number 6. You're not going to believe it, but you better. Here it is.
You may recall way back in, what was it, 1961, they invaded Cuba. And everybody was totally convinced that Castro was the worst guy in the world. All the Cuban people were going to rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro. They forgot that he educated their kids, gave them health care, totally transformed the society. You know, not to say that Fidel Castro or Cuba are perfect. They are certainly not. But just because Ronald Reagan dislikes these people does not mean to say that the people in their own nations feel the same way.
No. They're killed or they were put in prison. That's all. Bernie, you're such a schmuck that only in America could a schmuck like you get as far as you have. Bernie is the kind of schmuck that everyone in New York knows. Anyone living outside of New York who once lived in New York met schmucks like Bernie. They were the losers. They were the schleps. They were the guys who couldn't get the girls. They were the guys who had no cars. They were the guys who everyone laughed at. They were the guys who, when they got older, would come to a family gathering and grab someone's lapel and jab the with the other finger in the chest and give them a spritzel job, lecturing them on the wonders of Fidel Castro or Marxism or income redistribution while spritzing them. They had chopped liver breath all the time, even when they weren't eating chopped liver. They smelled like chopped liver coming out of the mouth, and they wouldn't let you go. They held a lapel, jabbed you with the other hand, and spritzed you. And you had little flakes of chopped liver in your eyes when they got through with you. That's Bernie Sanders. You want him for the presidency? Wow. It just shows you how drugged the nation is. But anything could happen. I wouldn't be shocked if he beats Hillary in the primary. Well, she owns the delegates. The delegates are like cattle futures to her. She bought them a long time ago. Put that on Twitter for me. Savage says Hillary owns the Democrat delegates. They're like cattle futures to her. She bought them a long time ago. That's a good Twitter. That's the tweet that'll go around the Twitter universe pretty quickly. 855-47282 is the phone number for hour number 3. 855-400-7. I don't know the number. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Nah, it doesn't matter what Bernie gets. Bernie's doing good. You know what kind of book deal is in this for him after this?
The World According to Bernie.
He's got a lecture circuit for the rest of his life. He's a rock star of the drug addicts. He's a rock star of the brainwashed drug addicts in America and the welfare recipients. He's the good white man who gives everybody everything that they ever wanted, as long as it's not out of his pocket. I'd like to see what his charitable donations were last year. It's like all the Berkeley liberals. Go see what they actually give away to anybody as they eat and salad bars for free, steal food. They once in Berkeley years ago experimented with a grocery chain called the Co-op. It was a thing in the 60s and 70s. They used to call it the Co-op, which those of us who knew better called it the Coop, because it was filled with mad chickens running around eating off the salad bar, stealing wheat, stealing like oats, and then put it. They had special raincoats that they wore with big pockets on the inside where they'd stuff food in for free. That's just from their own co-op. That's socialism at work. It went out of business. We should see how self-righteous they were with the co-op. You see a little of that today in Whole Foods. They think they're doing something good for the planet. Have you ever seen the self-righteousness of shoppers in Whole Foods? They don't look like ordinary shoppers, do they? They have a certain look to them, like they're doing good. They're better than everyone else. They're not buying GMOs. They're not supporting Monsanto. And, well, there's other things that they're doing that are good. It doesn't matter if they're paying five times more than they should. Every time I bought turkey from Whole Foods, it smelled foul to me. I don't know why. Half the food is garbage in there, in my opinion. And I've eaten healthy all my life where I can. But please, don't sell me on this whole business of the self-righteousness of the healthier food. But I don't mean to talk about food right now. I want to talk about shelter right now. I want someone to give me shelter. Is there anyone out there who can give me shelter? That was a good song by the Beatles. I don't even know how it goes, but that thought came to me right now. Do you feel like you need shelter? Are you waking up these days feeling that you can't take it anymore? It almost sounds like an aspirin ad, but it isn't. How can we survive al-Husseini in the White House? How is it even possible? How can we survive a dictatorship? We're living through a dictatorship soft. You don't even know that. Have you heard an opposition voice to anything al-Husseini has said recently about refugees or a two-state solution? Have you heard one voice of opposition to al-Husseini? Where have all the opponents gone? Where? You know, I watch TV a lot. I know after the show at night. So I like to watch the British House of Commons on Sundays. They replay it on Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Monday, of the Prime Minister once a week has to go before Parliament. And he stands there, no teleprompter, and the opposition Labour Party gets to hit him with hard questions. And he has to answer them. It's amazing to watch pure democracy in action. It's amazing to watch the vigorousness of the British Parliament in action compared to this. I don't have words for the contempt I have for this political system we have in this broken nation of ours. When you get a stooge dictator like this in the White House, it gets away with virtual murder, and nobody could ever ask him a direct question, ever, like he's God Almighty, protected by a sorority of 5,000 people. How much money do you think the executive office spends on public relations? How much money do you think they spend protecting him from the people? Can you add up the money? It came out yesterday that the EPA spends something like $60 million a year on public relations. Did you know that? To put out the big lie about the dangers of pollution and carbon while they're living high on the hog, all those criminal creeps in the EPA. Did you know that they have a PR department of their own and they have outside PR agents and they spend $60 million a year on it? Did you know that? You think all of this information you read about global warming comes from scientists? It's public relations releases, PR releases. It's invented. Same thing about Husseini in the White House, al-Husseini Obama. Why doesn't he have to stand up there once a week and answer questions, not from idiots like Jake Woodpecker? Jake Woodpecker is the equivalent of talking to a wall with a dummy inside, a dummy box inside the wall. Gives him the questions he wants to answer. But where is the real opposition? Let him stand up and answer Ted Cruz. Let him stand up and answer any of the opponents on the other side. Someone who knows what's going on, can articulate them and say, You said, Mr. President, blah, 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 we need to take in 110,000 Syrian refugees. Where are we going to get the money from, Mr. President? Let him answer. Mr. President, you've run our military into the ground. We can't even marshal a military to fight two wars now. 50% of our fighter jets don't operate, Mr. President. Are you alarmed at what you've done? Let him answer that. He doesn't have to answer that. He's got a phalanx of private security around him that goes in so many concentric circles that he's insulated from reality itself. And that's why many of you need shelter. That's why you wake up every day and say, I don't even want to talk about politics. Give me shelter. So now, can you imagine if you're handling it this way, meaning feeling perplexed, overwhelmed? Actually, the war is hopeless. How do you think those of us in the media who really are taking the battle to the enemy feel? I'm not alone. I'm one of the few. It's true. How do you think we feel every day? Do you think we enjoy this necessarily? Some days it's easier than others. Some days I do fly like an eagle. Other days I don't. Today has been a very hard day for me. Yesterday was even harder. I mean, I'm not complaining to you. Nobody is forcing me to be a media star. No one is forcing me to be a best-selling author. Nobody is forcing me to be a great orator. I could quit tomorrow. But if I'm feeling the weight of this oppressive regime and the disaster that Hillary Clinton created by melting Libya down and releasing all of these refugees to the world, first from Africa, now from Syria, with Obama's insane desire to destroy Assad, he created the Syrian refugee crisis. He did it. Don't blame Assad. It was Obama organizing the civil war. They got it in their minds, these morons, these stupid college-educated idiots, these morons got it in their head that they wanted to bring democracy to Syria, the same way they wanted to bring democracy to Libya. The same exact stupidity without looking at the results of their idiocy. And look at what happened in Libya. It opened up a pathway to Africa, right into Europe. Look what she did, and look what he did now with Syria. Opened up a pathway of refugees right from Syria into Europe and now into America. You say they're doing it on purpose? I'm not so sure. I think they're much stupider than you give them credit for. I don't think they're that smart. I think they're diehard demagogues who have never paid the consequences for their stupidity. I don't think they're that smart. So it's perplexing. You have Give Me Shelter by the Roll. Is it Rolling? Oh, who is it? Who did that song? Is it Rolling Stones or the Beatles? I can't take it anymore. My head feels like it's going to explode. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you can't take one more day of that deceitful thing in the White House, that lying SOB? One more lie comes out of his mouth, you feel like smashing everything in the house. Or that hag running for the presidency, that thing called Hillary. That crinkled up old hag, like she's something fresh and new. She's rotten guava on the jungle floor, and she's trying to sell herself as a fresh orange. My Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America IN. In France right now, they're actually trying people for saying anything negative about Muslims. Did you know it's become a crime? Francis Lepon says trial over Muslim remarks is persecution. Here's a woman who is polling so high that her party is liable to win the general election, win a regional election in December. And now the government, the socialist government in France, is using the courts to persecute her as she went on trial today because she compared Muslim street prayers in France to Nazi occupation. Can you believe this? What's coming to this country? Now, whether or not you agree with her comments, this is France, an open society where freedom of speech is supposed to be paramount. How can a humanistic advanced civilization do this to a woman? Well, the answer is they've been doing it for a long time in fascist France. They arrested that 1950s movie star, the great animal rights activist, Brigitte Bardot, when she warned 30 years ago that the Muslims were going to take over France, and she said they're going to convert our churches into mosques. They arrested her They tried her for, I don't know, whatever the crime was. I can guarantee you as I sit here, this is the year 2015, is it not? I told you this is the last, possibly the last year of pure freedom in this country. As the Muslim population increases in this country, pressure from them and their fellow travelers will increase upon the corrupt politicians, the crony socialists, to impose so-called hate speech laws that will be so broad that you will not be able to offer any criticism, no matter what is done in this country. I implore you, please listen to me. If you believe in freedom of speech and freedom of the press, enjoy the last days of freedom of speech on talk radio. The landscape will change so dramatically in 2016, it'll hit you like, it'll hit you so fast you won't even know what happened. It'll come out of nowhere. The same is true for books and writings and websites. I am guaranteeing it. That's my opinion. Less than a year. You have less than a year to enjoy the freedoms that you are afforded under your Bill of Rights. I can guarantee it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Last night I saw a show on American History Channel entitled Muslims and the Nazis. They did it. I didn't complain to them. And they talked about al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem during World War II, and how he collaborated with Hitler, and how the Muslims wanted to build gas chambers in the Middle East to exterminate the Jews. Now, this should be a wake-up call to all of the liberals who hate Israel, the liars, many of whom are Jewish, by the way, who say that they're not anti-Semitic because they're Jewish themselves, but they're anti-Zionist. What these fools should know is that al-Husseini wanted to exterminate the Jews in the Middle East before Israel was even created. I'm talking about 1940, 41, 42. There was no Israel. There was no Israel. There was no state of Israel. Al-Husseini, a Muslim, worked with Hitler, got the plans for the gas chambers at Dachau, and wanted to build gas chambers in the Middle East and round up all the Jews in every country in the Middle East and exterminate them. Did you know that? They didn't teach you that at Harvard? All of you geniuses on the Middle East who are oh so preposterously in favor of the poor oppressed Palestinians. You didn't know that about their history, did you? You don't know that their end goal is extermination. You know nothing about this. You also don't know the equation of the Middle East. We keep hearing that the Jews kicked the Palestinians off their own land, and that the Palestinians are the underdog, and how can you not identify with the underdog, and the Jews are evil imperialists who stole the land. I've heard it all. I've analyzed it all. And I'm sure there are many cases of that being true in the Middle East, in Israel, by the way, per se. But there are many cases of that not being true. In many cases, the Arabs gladly sold garbage land to the Jews. Garbage, useless, rocky hillsides that they could not cultivate for thousands of years, that the Jews made flour and grew crops on. And what you also don't know, but that they didn't teach you at Yale or Harvard, is that at the same time that Israel was created, the Muslims went on a war path in northern Africa. Libya, ring a bell, Algeria. Look at the countries of North Africa. Jewish people had lived there for 1,000 years. Guess what your friends, the Muslims, did to the Jews? They stole their land and kicked them out of the country. 700,000 Jews were thrown out of northern Africa. Jews had lived there for 500 years, rather. 500 years. Think about 500 years. Their land was stolen, property stolen, bank accounts stolen, and they were driven out. And where did the Jews go? They went to Israel. It was the only place on earth that would take them. So the next time you get up and smoke your liberal lies, get the whole picture right here on the Savage Nation. So now having said that, let's move on to what's happening in America. You're being pushed aside by the social engineers called al-Hussein Obama. Al-Hussein Obama is doing to this country a damage that you'll never understand in your lifetime. You'll never understand the damage al-Hussein is doing and why he's doing it. Whether it's a military that's now broken, whether it's the leadership of the military that's been decapitated, or weapon systems that are almost antiquated, the man has almost reduced us to a second-class nation in terms of a military. You don't know any of this because you haven't been told about this from the potheads and the crack addicts in the media. The crackheads who don't look like they're crackheads in the media, believe me, they are the ones who are responsible for what's happening. Because the crackheads in the media are supposed to be the estate, the fourth estate, that keeps the government in check. But aside from Michael Savage and a very few others in the media, there is no fourth estate. It's the fifth column. The fifth column marching alongside the liberal fascists who are stamping on us. Not stamping out the grapes of wrath, by the way, but literally growing the poison seeds. Poison seeds. Now I look in Canada. I wake up this morning and I see in the Drudge Report that some schmuck with tattoos with a fist has just been elected in Canada. He's the son of a moron named Trudeau. Trudeau is a playboy, an all-around useless idiot who destroyed Canada with his liberalism and stupidity. Another golden boy. Ruined Canada. Now, all of a sudden, the son is now elected. Why was he elected? Because he's got a good body and he's got tattoos. So now what does he want to do? The first thing this idiot in Canada says he wants to do is save the environment. He wants to talk about carbon. Another genius. Another moron doesn't even know what carbon is. He has the scientific literacy of Al Sharpton. Well, how can you say that? He's got a 10-pack on his stomach, and he's got a tattoo on his left shoulder, and he's a boxer. He must be smarter than everybody else. Well, if you're a fan of the American media, I guess you can grade someone's intelligence by the tightness of their stomach and the number of tattoos that are on their skin. So the fact of the matter is, this is what the idiot's talking about, carbon and bringing in more refugees. I swear to you, he wants to bring in more Syrian refugees into Canada. Can you believe this? You better believe it. The world is breaking up right in front of your eyes. Now, the question is, why are liberals so quick to embrace this invasion? And why are traditionalists and conservatives like myself so resistant to erasing the borders, language, and culture of this great nation? Is it a self-evident question? It's too complicated. It's not a classroom. I understand that. I'm speaking with you as though we're in a classroom, holding a seminar on the crisis, the refugee crisis facing the world right now, because that's the number one crisis in the world. I know most of us don't think about it every day. We go about our daily business. Money, you know, family, kids, soccer, dentists, cancer, heart attacks, prostate difficulties, fallen arches, broken bones, broken teeth, hair falling out, psoriasis. I get the picture. So wherever you are, and I try to imagine where you are, I know where I am. I know that I, as an immigrant's son, think only about the refugee crisis. And for one reason, as an immigrant's son, I have to ask myself, I, of all people in the radio, have to ask myself three times, why do I oppose relocating 100,000 Syrian refugees into this country? Why? Can you answer that question? Can you figure it out? And the embarrassing point is that people will always compare the situation to the Jews in the Holocaust. I mean, no, it's the underlying motif of the entire liberal establishment. The substrata of this entire argument, and the emotional substrata of this entire argument, is based upon the Jews under Nazi Germany. It's a false argument. It's a false one on many levels. Many levels it's a false one. And I'm sure you can figure out why it's false and why the narrative is being used by those who want to flood America with refugees for their own reasons. Lutheran Family Services is doing it only for the greed. They're demanding 100,000 because they make money off it. Baptist Family Services, they're doing it because they're greedy. They make money off it. Catholic Family Charities are doing it because they make money off it. So you could figure out what I'm saying to you. There's a lot of self-interest. There's a lot of greed. But the comparison to the Jews fleeing Germany in the Holocaust is a faulty analogy for a number of reasons, which I don't think I have to spell out to you unless you're that thick and you really do think it's the equivalent of Jews running from the gas chambers, because it's not Jews running from the gas chambers at all. This is Muslims running for a better way of life at your expense. Because the fact of the matter is, wherever they go, take a look at it. Look at Sweden. Look at Norway. Look at Denmark. Look at Germany. Look at the trail of filth. Take a look at it. How can we take care of refugees when we have so many indigenous poor in this country right now? What, is everybody here rich? All of a sudden, the country is rolling in money? All of a sudden, Obama has cleared everything up, and there are no poor in this country who need the help of the government? How in the world can you not see that there's something wrong with this picture? Now we have the issue of tolerance. And many years I've preached how ultra-tolerance is killing us. I've told you that 100 times. And we have a brainwashed generation of drug children raised on Adderall, marijuana, other toxic compounds, and outright brainwashing in the government schools, where they believe in things that are false as though they are truths. They have no religion. Their religion is liberalism. And the doxies of liberalism, I can give you the 10 commandments of liberalism. I can make them up on the spot if you'd like. 1, man is evil and poisoning the earth. 2, the earth is a living organism and needs to be protected. 3, all white people are racist. 4, all people of color are good. 5, all refugees should be allowed in. 6, there are people make too much money, it should be taken from them. I can go down the list. All you got to do is listen to Bernie Sanders. And you can fill in 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 commandments right there. And so you understand you have a brainwashed youth vote. You have a drugged youth vote. You have immigrants who want things for free that are being legitimized in an illegitimate way. Jerry Brown, for example, in his criminal ways, has now allowed the Department of Motor Vehicles in California to automatically register illegal aliens so that they guarantee not a one-party system in California, which is what we already have, but a no-party system. Just an autocrat. No party necessary. Just an autocrat in Sacramento. An autocrat in Washington. So you're watching the dissolution of democracy itself under the guise of diversity. Diversity is destroying democracy. Very clear, isn't it? Do I make things clear enough for you? Diversity destroying democracy. It's a major theme in Government Zero, which, by the way, has gone to number one under politics on Amazon before its publication next Tuesday. It's already number one on politics, which means that people who are political want that book. We're talking about the swamping of Europe with Muslim refugees. The main question facing us is this question. Is diversity destroying democracy? Or, as the liberals would argue, diversity, in fact, is making democracy stronger. Now, until this time, I would say that diversity has made America great. The melting pot. Isn't that what we heard ever since we've been a child? The melting pot, the melting pot, the melting pot. And then all of a sudden what happened was the melting pot became the chamber pot. We were no longer bringing in immigrants who wanted to lead a decent life and contribute to the country. We're bringing in immigrants who did the opposite. They contributed nothing except crime and disease, and they sucked the system dry. I'm not naming a particular group. You can put two and two together. You can attach a name tag to that particular statement if you wish. So now we're at the verge of destroying the melting pot in a way it can never, ever be healed by bringing in 100,000 Syrian refugees. Now, you could argue that at least with the Hondurans and Guatemalans and El Salvadorans and Mexicans, we see with our own eyes how hard they work. The predominant number of them are family members and Catholics, by the way. Just take that for what it is. Last night on my bicycle ride, I saw at 7 o'clock at night, it was dark out here, I saw a group of Mexicans still working on a construction site. It had turned dark. They had no lights. They had to finish the pour of the concrete on steps. 6 to 8 of them were there working. I'm not blind, and I'm not deaf. And I'm not dumb. I see what's going on. So in that sense, you can argue that diversity is good for democracy up to a certain point now. Now we have quite another story. 100,000 Syrians. Who are these Syrians? Will they ever assimilate? Do they want to give to America or do they want to take from America? Are any of them terrorists? Not allowed to ask the question? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm exposing for you and disclosing to you who's making money off the surge of illegal aliens and those coming in not only from Central America and Mexico in providing services. We know about the corrupt churches. We know how they've been corrupted under this regime. But then I listed the mutual funds. And if you have a mutual fund, you probably like the percentage you're making every year. But I want you to know which companies are profiting from the illegal alien surge. You may say that you're a conservative and against illegal immigration. Well, here are the mutual funds that hold GEO stock. Are you ready? Vanguard Specialized RET Index Fund, Fidelity Small Cap Discovery Fund, Prudential Jennison Equity Income Fund, Eagle Series Trust Small Cap Growth Fund, Vanguard Small Cap Index Fund, Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. Do you get the picture? I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, but you have to understand they're profiting from a political decision that you oppose. It's all on page 188 of Government Zero, in case you want to get that list again, because I'm not going to read it again. I'm just getting started. Who is this GEO group, board of directors, that are making billions off the illegal aliens living in luxury resorts? They're not household names. I won't read them to you. One of them is Norman Carlson, former director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Huh? I didn't know that. Let me pause right there, I say. The former director of the U.S. Federal Bureau of Prisons is on GEO's board? Well, think about that for a moment. And as I said, it's all perfectly legal. It's business as usual. Look how well they're doing. There are others. They all came to do good, and they did very well indeed. Again, these are not household names. But wait until you hear the punchline, because you haven't heard it yet. It's on page 189 of the only book you need this year, Government Zero. Are you ready? It's the Koch brothers, however you pronounce it. David and Charles, I used to call it Koch. K-O-C-H, David and Charles, who are two of the richest people in the world, are key funders of the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC. There you have it. You thought it was all liberals who wanted amnesty, but conservatives are also guiding forces behind the illegal immigration surge because they own facilities with thousands of unused beds, and they want you to fill them and pay for them. It is big business, big government, and big religion, all in one bundle and getting paid off your back. It is big business, big government, and big religion, all in one bundle, and they're all earning money off your back, all disclosed in the chapter, Zero Immigration and Government Zero. I close the chapter with the three pages on, Can We Get America Back? I mean, I'm not going to read it to you, but I want to read one line. I'm not against immigration. I'm the child of immigrant parents myself. My mother was an immigrant. My father was an immigrant. Everyone living in this country is descended from immigrants, including the inappropriately named Native Americans. They aren't indigenous to America either. They came here from Asia. They just came before the Europeans. That's something else you probably didn't learn in school. Immigrants did help build this country into the greatest nation on earth. And I believe that every human being has a natural right to leave the country he or she is born in and seek a better life in another. Did you hear what I just said to you? But that right has the same natural limit that all rights have. Jefferson put it so eloquently when he said, the limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. It means you do not have a right to immigrate to another country carrying a potentially deadly disease that could harm the people living there. You don't have a right to enter the country illegally and subvert its constitution. Most obviously, you don't have a right to immigrate into a country for the express purpose of killing its citizens or overthrowing the government. But yet this is precisely the kind of immigration our government is actively facilitating.